Start conference
recording. Press 1. To return to the console, recording has started.
We left off the previous year. We just began the sugya of the Vilna Malka, but we just began the second dimension of the sugya of Vilna Malka. That it's clear from the Gemara that Vilna Malka was sitting in a sukkah, even though it's also clear that she is Ptura from the sukkah, because the mitzvah says she is Ma'agrama. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she was actually sitting in a sukkah that was Kshera. And the question that's posed is there any problem with that? Is there any reason to believe that a woman should not be sitting in a sukkah? Why would we think that a woman should not be sitting in a sukkah? So we had a Gemara in the fourth parak of Masechus Rosh Hashanah that had a machlekes atanoim about two particular mitzvahs that women are exempt from, whether it is permissible for them to volunteer to do those mitzvahs or whether it is prohibited for them to volunteer to do those mitzvahs. The two mitzvahs that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah was talking about, one was, of course, tekiya shofar. That was the main sugya there. And the second was the mitzvah of smicha, of person bringing a korban and putting one's hand to Samachel Rosh Ha'olah, which is B'nai Yisrael V'lo B'nos Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that not only are women pturos from shofar, not only are women pturos from smicha, but they're not allowed to do those things. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you know, they're not obligated to blow the shofar if they want to, they can. They're not obligated to smicha if they want to, they can. So what was the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? So Rashi had a comment, if you take a look at the third of the Marma Komus again. So Rashi had quite a chiddush. Hanoshim Akvin, the pturos the gamrei. If a woman wants to blow the shofar, I'm not talking about blowing the shofar to be moti somebody else, to be moti a man, that's out of the question according to all opinions, but I'm talking about just she wants to blow for herself. So Rashi says, according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, she's pturos, the mitzvah says she has ban gramli, the chitaki ikah bal tosef, according to Rashi's view within Rabbi Yehuda, that would be a violation of bal tosef. So Tosef raised an objection to Rashi, if that is the case, that it is bal tosef, so then how do we explain how a woman considered the sukkah? According to Rashi's understanding, that there's nothing unique about shofar, nothing unique about smicha, but there's a general rule that women cannot volunteer to do mitzvahs that they're pturos from, because that's a violation of Tosef. So how do we explain away what's going on? There's Sugi Rabbi Yehuda, who happens to be the Tana, who says they can't blow shofar, the Tana says they can't do smicha. How does Rabbi Yehuda permit them eating in a sukkah? So Tosef, in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, tries a little bit to defend Shitas Rashi. So if you take a look at the fourth line of the fifth of the Rama Kamos, tells him a second, it's the fourth line, a couple of words in, Umiyu. So Tosus is trying very, very hard. At the end, Tosus is not going to be happy with Rashi Shita, but they're trying very hard to defend Rashi Shita. Umiyu, yesh li yashiv. Perhaps we could defend Rashi. The mishum banei ha'isa yashivas. There was a reason why she was sitting in the sukkah. She wasn't just stopped sitting to volunteer to do the mitzvah. She was sitting. She was a mother. She had seven kids. They were fairly young. And I guess she, I don't know if you would want to leave your seven kids alone in the sukkah. So Hilni Amalka wasn't sitting there so much as a mitzvah. So therefore, it didn't look so bad. It didn't look like Bal Tosef. That's a very, very, it was not very powerful lotion, a little mechzik about Tosef. You know, if I'm talking to you, this is the about Tosef, and you're telling me, well, it's not so bad. You know, it's not so bad because it doesn't look so bad. I don't know. That sounds like a little bit of a strange response to Shitas Rashi. Well, it's probably not such a bad response to Shitas Rashi, because remember at the very end of the Shiur on Friday, we pointed out that although Rashi in Rosh Hashanah does use a very harsh, strong lashon, Ika Bal Tosef, which clearly sounds like there's an Issa D'Oraisa involved, Rashi in other places, Rashi in Eirvin writes, it's a Nirik Bal Tosef. Rashi himself writes a very, very powerful, very, very watered down lashon. Rashi seems to say that Bal Tosef min HaTorah, it's not. Bal Tosef D'Oraisa means if you add on a fifth bias to your tefillin, you take a fifth min to your dalad min. That's Bal Tosef D'Oraisa. A woman blows shofar, shouldn't do it. Again, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. She shouldn't do it. We're encouraging her to do it. We're going to stop from doing it because it looks a shticker like Bal Tosef. A real Bal Tosef, it's not. So it's clear that even within Shittas Rashi, even if you go down the root of Bal Tosef, we have two versions of Rashi. To what degree of Bal Tosef are we talking about? Are we concerned with the real Bal Tosef D'Oraisa, like Rashi in Rosh Hashanah sounds? Are we concerned with almost like a mechzeh and nirik Bal Tosef D'Rabbana, like Rashi in Erevin writes? So this answer of Tosef is what Tosef says, well, mechzeh Bal Tosef is clearly not addressing Rashi's concern in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. If it would be a real D'Oraisa Bal Tosef, then mechzeh Bal Tosef is not going to do the trick. So this Tosef, this lashon of Tosef that As long as we can somehow explain what she's doing, a person comes and sees a woman, what she's doing in the sukkah, so our knee-jerk reaction is gewalt, it's about Tosef. So then she come and ask her, what are you doing in the sukkah? She says, I've got seven little kids on the age of 13. So that's when, oh, Baruch Hashem, doesn't look so bad. Take care of your kids. So that answer of Tosef, Metzik about Tosef, is addressing the concern of Rashi that it would otherwise be a Metzik about Tosef. But then Tosef does not finish. Tosef gives another defense of Rashi. Inam, he says, Tosef. Mishum deshamina leila Rava prekaru beis din. Rava in Maseches Rosh Hashanah explains to us the lav or shalob is mana boy kavana. For a person to violate Baal Tosef, even a level of deraisa, if it's not the zman ha-mitzvah, you have to have kavana to violate Baal Tosef. Let's say, the marshal, I sit down today for lunch, I have a piece of matzah for lunch. I like eating matzah. Ooh, new chumrah. That's called Baal Tosef. After all, you're only supposed to eat matzah in Pesach, eating matzah in the middle of Cheshvan. So that's a joke. That's not called Baal Tosef. Why is it not called Baal Tosef? Because there's no shaychus, there's no connection to my eating matzah 6 months later. If I eat the matzah and I have in mind hinni mucher mzuman to be yaitzei the mitzvah derais of matzah on the, I don't know what day of cheshvan is, 18th day of cheshvan, whatever it is, on the 18th day of cheshvan, that's Baal Tosef. If you're over shalom is mano, you require kavana lotzeis in order to be in violation of Baal Tosef. A person sits in the sukkah. I sit in the sukkah today. I didn't bother taking down my sukkah yet. And I want to sit, it's a nice day outside, I want to sit and eat lunch in the sukkah. Baal Tosef? It's not Baal Tosef. The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah that on the day after Sukkot, you shouldn't sit in the sukkah even without kavana, because that doesn't look right. That looks like shtick like Baal Tosef. What's the day after Sukkot? So in Eretz Yisrael, the day after Sukkot is Tishmin Yetzeres. In Chutzlar, the day after Sukkot is Simchus Torah. So you're not allowed to sit in the Minat Torah, you have to eat in the sukkah 7 days. Because of Stek of the Yomas, Chazal instituted, you have to eat in the sukkah Shmin Yetzeres. Then on the ninth day, you're not allowed to eat in the sukkah Simchus Torah. So if a person wants, for some strange reason, to be in the sukkah Simchus Torah, the Gemara says you have to make a heck, you have to make it recognizable that you're not being Mosif. How do you do that? So you have to put something into the sukkah that you would never put the week of sukkahs. What's a good example of that? Take a dirty, filthy pot or something, put it into the sukkah. So you're not supposed to do that on sukkahs. Or you take a garbage can. You would never take a garbage can into the sukkah. You're not supposed to take a garbage can into the sukkah. The problem is all the people who are nichshel in this, they take the garbage cans in all week, and that comes to the sukkah, oh, I put my garbage can into the sukkah. That's a little bit of a low, that's an efficient hack here. So you're supposed to put your garbage can in the sukkah. It's interesting because more people eat in the sukkah on Simchas Torah than any other day of the year besides sukkahs. Why is that? Very often the kiddushes in shul, there's no room. They spill over into the sukkah, so people have a lot of company, they want to eat out there. People are still eating in the sukkah on Simchas Torah. So when you eat in the sukkah on Simchas Torah, you better make sure to put a garbage can there. We're always machmir for that in a shul. We always lane one of our four laning stations. Or sometimes two of our laning stations end up to be in my sukkah, the shul sukkah. So we always throw a garbage can in. I'm always wondering whether you have to put a garbage can in for laning, because I'm not doing something that's really chayiv in the sukkah. When I eat in the sukkah and sukkah stuff, I have a kiddush in the sukkah, then I mamash have to put a garbage can in. I'm going into lane, do you need the heck or not? I'm not sure. Suffer garbage can, l'chumra, so we're always machmir try to run a garbage into the sukkah.
All the kids are eating the candy, so it's good to have it.
Oh, good, there you go. Okay. Well, the kids and some of the adults, but we'll leave that. Those who made the early kiddush against shul rules. We had to talk to the previous owner of the kiddush committee. Okay. So the comes Tosfos and says that the Gemara says that if you try to violate Baal Tosef chutz l'zmano, the only way to do that is with kavana. So comes Tosfos and says, "Ulagabe isha, the lo mechayev havi kishlo b'zmano." A woman vis-a-vis a mitzvah she's pturah from is like a shtichu shlo b'zmano. Why is that? It is the zman a mitzvah, but there's no shaychus to the mitzvah. A man who's chayev in sukkah, a man who's chayev in tefillin, a man who's chayev in tzitz, chayev in lulav. So the zman a mitzvah means something. A woman, the zman a mitzvah is kishalob is zman a mitzvah. So since it's shalob is zman a mitzvah, the kevod lo mechavne lo avra. Since she's not having in mind to be yotzi, she's just having in mind to babysit her kids, so she's not in violation of Baal Tosef. This answer of Tosef is, in a sense, a much more powerful answer, much more halachic answer. Tosef is giving you a hagador, a halachic category, and saying the reason why it's not Baal Tosef, because al pi din, a woman has the status of shalob is zmana, and therefore without kavana, she's not over Baal Tosef. Why does Tosfos feel the necessity to give the more powerful answer? Because as we said before, Rashi in different places has different concerns. If you hold like Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, that the concern wasn't that serious, it was just a mechzi, it was a marisai and a shtickle of Baal Tosef, So then all you needed to say was, well, it doesn't look like Meltos because she's babysitting, not sitting in the sukkah. But if you go down the root of Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, there's a real deraisa about Meltosif here, then you have to respond. If someone comes at you with a real powerful argument, you can't give a cheap, you know, argument to win the case. You got to respond with a powerful argument. So the powerful argument is, you, Rashi, and Rosh Hashanah told me she's in violation about Meltosif, a real deraisa about Meltosif, wrong, not true. She's not a violation about Tosef because it's Shalob Bismana, and Shalob Bismana you require Kavona. So Tosef defended Rashi. I thought very well. Tosef defended Rashi, both versions of Rashi. But Tosef Achnira Dochik. Tosef says, we don't think these answers are right. We think that Rashi is not correct. And we think that the reason why the woman can't blow the shofar and the reason why the woman can't do smicha is based on other things, totally, completely different things. What are those other things? So there are some reasons that are unique to those mitzvahs of shofar and smicha that women are not supposed to participate in. It says, tells us there is no klal, there's no general rule that says women can't do mitzvahs as magrav. No such thing. Rashi says there's such a rule, the deraisa, the rabbanu kontributa. Tosh says we never heard of such a thing. So what is unique about the mitzvah of shofar? What is unique about the mitzvah of smicha? So the truth is that there are actually two other mitzvahs that the Gemara singles out that women are not supposed to be doing. So we learned about that in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. One of them was the mitzvah of tefillin, and the other was the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Those are the four mitzvahs that women not only are exempt from, but are prohibited to perform according to Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rashi, there's nothing unique about any of those four mitzvahs. Those four mitzvahs are just examples of any other mitzvah. Sukkah is the same, and tzitzit is the same, and kriyas is everything. It's all the same. Women cannot do mitzvahs she has man grow, period, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to Tosfos, even though Tosfos worked so hard to defend Rashi, at the end of the day, they admit doichak. So now they're forced to go back to each one of those mitzvahs and find the unique reason what's wrong with those mitzvahs. What is special about those four mitzvahs? Those are the only four, these four, no others, that women cannot do, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what is unique about the famous four mitzvahs of tefillin, shofar, aliyah l'regel, and smichas hakarbanos? So Tosfos goes mitzvah by mitzvah to explain. So back to the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. So it's the fourth line from the bottom. Right back in the middle of the line. V'niru l'farish. V'taima l'mandi amar d'lo avirishus. Why is it that women cannot put on tefillin, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Mishum de tefillin tzrichin gufnaki. Is nashim ein zerizos lizoher? Says Tosfos, tefillin requires gufnaki. A person has to be very, very clean. Not only clean, a person has to be their machshav has to be clean. They have to be in a physical and a spiritual clean set of mind in order to wear tefillin. And women are not as careful. So since the women are not as careful in these things, therefore they should not be wearing tefillin. That's also a suggestion. What's unique about tefillin? The aliyah l'regel. What's wrong with aliyah l'regel? Who wants to come to Yerushalayim, come to the Beis Mikdash, come to Har Bayis? What's the problem? Because when you come aliyah l'regel, you don't just show up for aliyah l'regel. You bring a korban for aliyah l'regel. You have to bring a korban. Oila, when you come aliyah l'regel, there are three mitzvahs you have to do every yantav, every shal shugalim. You have to bring an olas riyav, or panay reikam. You have to bring shalmei simcha, which you're going to eat from. You have to bring shalmei chagiga, special kamanas that are dedicated for the yantav. So when a woman's going to come aliyah l'regel, she's not just going to show up in the Beis Hamikdash. She's going to bring a korban. Says Tosfos, mishum de mechze kemaviya chulin le'azara. It looks like she's bringing something that's not really a korban. Why is that? When a person brings in a korban olas riya, so they makdish it, they designate it, and they say, this is an olas riya. This is a korban chova. Now the truth is, a person can volunteer to bring an oil also. I can come in the middle of the winter and bring a korban oil. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I bring a korban oil on Yom Tov, I designate it as a korban oil to fulfill the mitzvah of chi of the rice of leiroi fanarekam. If a woman does that, it's not really true, because that korban is not really an olas riya, because you're not really obligated to bring it. So even though you could volunteer to bring a korban ola, there's nothing wrong with a woman, a woman can bring a korban ola, but if she brings a korban ola, betoras, olas riya, panim bazara, it looks like a jajuk, it looks like the korban is not really chal. It's like, let's say I would want to volunteer to bring a korban chatas. So I come in the middle of December, I want to bring a korban chatas. I wasn't Mechal Shabbos B'Shegeg, I didn't eat Chela B'Shegeg, I didn't eat Yom Kippur B'Shegeg. What do you mean you volunteered to be in Korban Chatos? It's not Chal, it's not Taifes. If you would shech that Korban in the Beis HaMikdash, that's an Issa Deraisa, that's called Shechitas Chulun Be'Azara, because the Korban doesn't have Kedusha to it. It's like a regular animal, you're not allowed to bring a regular animal Chulun into the Azara. So when a woman brings the Olas Riyah, it's Nira. It's not 100% Nira, it can be a Chulun Be'Azara. Oh, says Tosfos, maybe the reason why we're discouraging the women from coming a little regel, you're not supposed to stop spazier into the Azara. The Azara is a very makom kaddish. You come into the Azara to bring karbanos. If you want to come to the Azara and not bring a karban, that's a rias padim bazar, shlo l'tzarech. It's not necessary coming into the Azara. You're not supposed to do that. So when the woman comes to the base of Mikdash and she wants to bring the karban ola, so we tell her that's not the right place to be. It's rias padim bazar, shlo l'tzarech. What's wrong with kiyah shofar? So Tosfos goes to each one of these as well. With kiyah shofar, sbicha navi de me'akvin, the mandalei sevishos. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda says that we discourage women from blowing shofar. We discourage women from doing sbichas karbanos. La mishum de mechsei moisif. Tosfos says, don't say Rashi's pshat, that's not right. Elamishum tkiya, malacha de rabbananik, the upper kis yada, the end of the Shabbos. Tosfos quotes a whole sugi b'sechus chulun that says that tkiya shofar is basically an issa de rabbanan on yantif. You're not going to stop blow shofar. Let's say on Pesach, you decide to blow shofar. You're not going to do that. You're not allowed to blow shofar on a regular Shabbos. You're not allowed to blow shofar on a yomtiv. The blowing of shofar itself is an issamid. It's not a sitra, it's not a malacha, but it's an issamid de rabbanan. So therefore, for a man who's chayev in tkiyah shofar, you have no choice. You have to blow the shofar. For a woman who's not chayev in shofar, it would be silly for her to volunteer to blow the shofar. She's volunteered to blow the shofar at the expense of an issa de rabbanan. There's a big machlek, sapelskim, whether the issa de rabbanan of blowing shofar applies on Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? Lemaisa Chazal had to permit you to blow shofar for the mitzvah, so we have to, you know, overlook that it's a derabbanan, obviously. But there's a big machlekes, the Taz and others, when Chazal permitted us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even at the expense of what would otherwise be an issa derabbanan, did they lift the issa legamri? That means there's no issa derabbanan of shofar on Rosh Hashanah finished. Let's say a guy wants to take a shofar 3 o'clock in the afternoon and blow Yankee Doodle on it. There's nothing wrong. It's okay. If you take a piano and you play Yankee Doodle, you take the drums and play Yankee Doodle, that's an issa derabbanan. But you're playing the shofar is not. Shofar was never included. Okay, maybe Yankee Doodle is a little bit too far. Person wants to blow tkiyah shvam through. The guy was yaitzeh ready. He stopped. He wants to practice a little bit. It's his shofar blowing. He wants to blow a little bit in the afternoon. So comes the Taz and says, that's okay. The Chazal lifted the isser entirely of blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It should have been asr, but legal, since they had to matter it for the tkiyah shofar itself, so the whole isser was lifted. And other published Shabru quotes, other Chachamim say it's not true, that whatever is necessary for tkiyah shofar is mutter. Whatever is above and beyond the call of duty for tkiyah shofar is prohibited. The isser is still there. So therefore, you're not allowed to blow extra on Rosh Hashanah, shalom v'tzarech. It's something, right? It's like on a level of the rabbanon, shtickle like that, a little bit, right? Right. It's a similar kind of a concept. So according to the Taz, we understand very well what the Minhag Yisrael is. We blow a lot of extra tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah. First we blow the tekiyas before Musaf, that's the Ikra Din. Then we blow tekiyas during Musaf, that's also the Ikra Din. But there's a lot more tekiyah shofar going on after that. So Chazaras Hashatz is over, in the middle of Kaddish, all of a sudden the Baal Tekiyah is blowing more and more and more and more, 30 kolos, 40 kolos, 100 kolos. What's the source for any of that? It's all a Minhag. The blowing after the end of Kaddish Tiskabel, whenever you blow the shofar after Davening is over, that's all B'tayres Minhag. So what right do we have to blow that shofar? So according to the Taz, it makes a lot of sense, because there was never an issa to blow altogether in Rosh Hashanah. According to the other poskim, you have to say that, even though there really should be an issa d'rabbanan, but it's a little bit of a tzarech, so what's the tzarech? Mea kailas and kabbalah and all kind of stuff, reasons for the extra kailas. So we mouth that also. What if a guy afterwards wants to blow the chumras, he wants to blow, and sure they blew straight shvarim, and now he wants to hear the hooked shvarim, and sure they blew shorter shvarim, he wants to hear the longer shvarim, and sure they blew a shvarim trua with the Mishnah Berurah, the Shimachas, not the Chadah, all kind of chumras, and he's got all kind of stuff he wants to hear after davening sometime. So the minig is, and many of the shivas, they do that. Many places, they blow after davening, they blow before mincha, all kind of different nuances and kunsim and things, that different shittas. What right do you have to do that? It's all blowing shalol tzarech. I mean, you don't really think you have to hear those kolos. If you really felt you had to hear those kolos, then you would have blown them in the middle of davening also. So the answer probably is, that's what Rav Sternberg writes, that anything that's a half-baked tzarech, doesn't be such a tzarech. If Sisra's mother's 100 kolos are enough at Tzarech, so then the Briska Shvarms are also enough at Tzarech, then the Chazanish's Tashrats are enough at Tzarech. It's also good enough. So that's what the minig is in many places, that they blow extra kolos, and nobody stops it. We assume that that's all within the spirit of the day. Whatever a person feels is a hiddah for tkiyah shofar would be good. Stop to play Yankee Doodle, and stop, we would not like that to happen. Then anyway, we get back to the story. So for a woman to blow the shofar, says Tosfos, it's really a malachas tkiyah shofar. This Tosfos sounds a little bit against the Taz. According to the Taz, that they permitted Tkiyah Shofar, they wiped off the Yisrael, the Rabban of Tkiyah Shofar, so the stomach, they wiped it off for the men and for the women. It means, why do you have to, they're going to create an Yisrael, the Rabban of Tkiyah Shofar, only for women? It sounds a little bit funny. So it sounds a little bit from Tosfos that the starting point is that you're not allowed to blow Shofar, even on Rosh Hashanah, except when you have to for the mitzvah. A woman who's not chayev, so she shouldn't do it. So at the end of the day, we have Tosfos, who's working very, very hard to try to find unique individual reasons for each one of these mitzvahs, trying to explain why a woman can't blow shofar and why a woman can't come to the Azar, why a woman can't put on tefillin. Now he has one more to do. Usmicha. Why can't the woman do smicha sakarbanas? I feel like kapas yad mechzeh kevayde bekachim, because it looks like you're working with the carbon. Now, normally when you do smicha, you have to lean and support your entire weight on the carbon. So that smacks of what we call osava in a carbon. There's an issa derais osava b'chosh arecha, that you're not allowed to do avoid in any carbon, not just a bechor. If I have an animal that's a bechor, if I have an animal that's a carbon, and I decide before I bring it as a carbon, I'm going to bring it to my field and use it to plow my field, that's an issa derais. I'm going to use it to thresh my grain, that's an issa derais. So if I ride, I'm not allowed to ride on an animal that's a carbon, that's using the carbon. So if I support my weight on the animal, that's a very serious shaila. So how could you ever do smicha? Smicha requires of you to lean on the carbon. So the Torah says, you're right, you never should have been able to do smicha. But the Torah said you do it. So obviously the Torah is saying that the mitzvah of smicha is more important than what would otherwise be avodas hakarbonos. So therefore, Tosfos says, if the woman's going to go ahead and do smicha on the carbon, that's going to be an avod of a carbon, a shalol tzarech. She doesn't have to do a real smicha. Let her do what's called a kafis yad. Kafis yad means just put your hand on, give a bracha to your kid. You don't smash the kid's head. You don't lean on the kid. So Tosfos says, why can't we just let a woman do that? So mechse kivar, that doesn't look right. You see a woman leaning a little bit of shtickle on the carbon, even if she's not supporting herself entirely, doesn't sit right, smacks of it. So we could breathe a sigh of relief. Tosfos succeeded in finding four mitzvahs, four different reasons why a woman cannot do these mitzvahs according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So it comes out, we have a machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos, within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, why a woman can't do mitzvahs X, Y, and Z. According to, we have really three reasons. Rashi says in one place it's about Tosef Deraisa. Rashi says in another place it's about Tosef Derabanan. And Tosef says, no, not Deraisa, not Derabanan, it's not about Tosef. Each mitzvah has its own reason for it. My nafkamina between Rashi and Tosef is a big nafkamina. What if it's not one of these big four? What if it's Sukkah? What if it's another mitzvah? So according to Tosef, that's fine. And therefore Tosef says, we understand full well why Hilni Amalka sat in the Sukkah. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to be doichek. According to us, there's nothing wrong, no reason under the sun for a woman not to sit in the Sukkah. There's no avodah b'kachim, and there's no tefillin issues, and there's no shayfer. All the reasons don't apply, and therefore it's mutter, and Hilni Amalka made perfect sense what she did. She can sit in the Sukkah, she can shake a lulav. There's no problems. But according to Rashi, you have to explain, if a woman can't do shofar, smicha, etc., why can we let her do sukkah? So the answer is she can't, according to Bermuda, except when she was babysitting. She was babysitting her kids, so then it doesn't look like Tosef, or it's shalom bezmano, no kavana, whatever the case may be.
According to Tosef, any mitzvah, say she has one grandma that he doesn't list in here, is okay?
Right, that's right, everything's good.
A woman put on tzitzis.
Tosef didn't put it on the list. I didn't say she can, I said Tosef didn't put it on the list.
According to this, okay.
Say that, I just said that's not a list. Be careful, I'm on multiple recorders right now. Every word has been counted and reported. So I hope everybody enjoyed the shiur, but if I would have said it to this you at the beginning of the shiur, maybe some people would have left the daven through the minyan. This entire shiur, I hope Elav Divrei Elokim Chayim, that's true. This is all within the shita that we don't paskin like. This is all within Rabbi Yehuda's view that women are not supposed to be doing whatever those mitzvahs are, 1, 2, 3, 4. The other opinion, the Ba'plukta of Rabbi Yehuda, was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, it's okay. Women are semchis rishus, and women can blow the shofar, and women can come a little regel, and yeah, Rabbi Yossi said that women can put on the tefillin also. As the Gemara said, the favor, said all four of these mitzvahs, so there's nothing wrong with them. Rabbi Yossi wasn't concerned with any of these things. He says that all these things are rishus. There never was about taisif, and there never was a concern of taisif. Everything is mutter. There's no problem whatsoever. Now, that statement that I just said, that we postulate Rabbi Yossi, and therefore there are no hesitations and no reservations whatsoever, was a true statement at a certain time in history. Bisman Chazal, that statement was correct. However, the Rishonim are quick to point out that some things have changed since the days of Chazal. The two mitzvahs that have changed significantly since the days of Chazal are the mitzvahs of tzitzis and the mitzvah of tefillin. The reason why those mitzvahs have changed vis-a-vis women is because those mitzvahs have changed vis-a-vis men as well. Now, it doesn't mean chalil b'chalil the tefillin have changed. It doesn't mean chalil the tzitzis have changed. the way we perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, the way we perform the mitzvah of tefillin, is a little bit of a different nuance than the days of Chazal, in the following sense. In the days of Chazal, tefillin were worn the entire day. That we know is a fact. That's the correct way to wear tefillin, is the entire day. We nebuch cannot do that. We cannot wear tefillin the entire day. We limit ourselves to wearing tefillin a very, very short snippet a day. Now, according to the overwhelming majority of poskim, min haTorah, you really only have to wear tefillin for a short amount of time. The Torah says, doesn't say how long that amount of time is. So technically speaking, midaraisa, the Prima Kodim says, Shabru quotes the Prima Kodim, says, midaraisa, kshatim milse adecha. On the very, very short minyanim, on and off. So min haTorah, I did ukshat, what do you want? I did ukshat milse adecha. Doesn't say in the Chumash how long it has to be. Every day you do ukshat milse adecha, on, finished. There's a kiyum deraisa, the Prima Kodim says, there's the proper thing, there's a hidur min haTorah, to keep tefillin on as long as you can. The more the merrier. So the longer I'm keeping them on, the more I'm getting the mitzvah. It's not a chiyuv. I'm not a mevatel as a mitzvah. It's not like I didn't put tefillin on. I did put tefillin on, but you should keep them on the entire day. So why don't we do that anymore? What happened? It's not Chazal that did that. So already in the days of the Gaonim, they made the following observation, the following realization, that when you wear tefillin, so we mentioned before, one has to be careful about guf noki. One has to be careful about hesech hada'as. You're not allowed to think about things that are not appropriate. You're not allowed to schmoozing and laughing and jovial kalas rosh with one's tefillin on. There are certain real, real surim that govern hilchos tefillin. The Gaonim start to get concerned. There's a big heiliget tzaddik, and he's always thinking about the tefillin and thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom, and he's careful not to go to the bathroom. He's careful not to think inappropriate things. That person should be wearing tefillin all day, said the Gaonim. Very few of us can live up to that. For the Hamonam, so we hope and pray for the half hour, 40 minutes of davening, you can keep yourself, your body clean, your mind clean, your thoughts clean. We hope and pray that a person can live up to the standards of Hilchos Tefillin. More than that, say the Gaonim, not only do we say, you know, it's not a good idea. We strongly recommend, if I would see a boy in a yeshiva walking around 11 o'clock, unless he's davening shacharis now, walking around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, he's walking around with his tefillin, running to class with his tefillin on, I would say, you know, it's a very nice, noble gesture, please take your tefillin off. Why? The Gaonim say, we don't want people to be wearing tefillin all day, because it's going to be too much of a bizarre head filling.
Why not mincha?
Oh, very good. So mistum, the answer is because mincha was davened quickly, you know, almost in a work kind of a setting. So the Gaonim felt that the Minhag Yisrael felt that even that's not enough. Shachris, the person sits down, a little bit of Yeshiva Das, he hasn't gone to work yet. So we hope and pray Shachris will be for enough guf noki and clear of Hezgadas. Mincha, the Gaonim, and the Minhag Yisrael was to be afraid. I know that there is a whole movement in particularly the old city that a lot of people daven mincha with the tefillin on. So again, I'm not commenting on that. Old city is a very holy, holy, special place, but some of they're up to it. But if a guy's sitting in the pizza store in the Rovan with his tefillin on, or he's at Zisalik, you know, getting his ice cream with his tefillin on, I have to think twice about whether that person is up to par in terms of wearing tefillin. So that's the reason why the Maisa, not that the mitzvah of tefillin chalil has changed per se, the tefillin are the same tefillin and the same ukshat v'sadech and the same brach and everything, but the amount of time that we wear tefillin has significantly changed. That change in the amount of time, the way we perform tefillin, is partially responsible, mostly responsible, for our approach to women wearing tefillin b'zman hazeh. Hopefully that's Hashem tomorrow. So we'll see this nekuda, and then eventually we'll come back to the tzitzis part, remember to remember the tzitzis, then we'll get back to Ash, so we'll get back to the Isha of Yeshiva Sasuka, how it plays out for the rest of the sugya of Hilul Ne'amah.
Okay.